Jesus said the same thing. Men love darkness rather than the light. Amen? That's why they wouldn't come to him. No, listen, unbelievers, we should pity them. They don't know that they love darkness. They don't know that they find joy in darkness. They don't know that they're living in darkness, and they certainly don't know that darkness is living in them.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
It's great to have you tuning in as we begin another week of studying God's Word. On the program today, Pastor Bill concludes the message from his First Peter series, Armed with Attitude. Now let's join Pastor.
Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, therefore you be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now Peter's getting ready to do something. He's actually going to give 10 commands, but those commands run into next week, okay, and starting in verse 12. So I'm going to give you 5 of the commands from Peter here, meaning therefore, because the end of all things is at hand, look what he says to do. Number 1, be serious. That's a command in the Greek. Number 2, be watchful in your prayers. That is also an imperative, another command. So what is he saying? Here's your attitude. You must arm yourself with prayer in good times, but especially in bad times. Amen? When you're going through persecution and times of suffering for Jesus' sake. So he says, you got to be serious. You got to be sober-minded. You have to be clear-minded. You got to be balanced, because the world that you live in is out of balance. And then he says, you have to be watchful. Another command again, which means to be alert in your prayers. Remember what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane? In Matthew's gospel, I forget the exact verse, but he told the disciples, he said, come and pray with me. Come, you know, but they went over and went to sleep. And he went over to them and he said, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? Come, watch. He says, be watchful, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Well, we need to be watchful in our prayers. We need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in our prayers. Amen? It's important. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance, supplication for all of the saints. Prayer, boy, that's some heavy armor. Remember what the word arm means? Put on the heaviest armor. Man, prayer. Prayer is the work. You know, prayer, oh, loved one, listen. You know what prayer really does? Let me put it this way. If I leave my prayer room, which is the laundry room, okay? If I leave my prayer room, but I didn't pray, my mind is not at peace. Do you understand? If I pray, if I have my prayer time, quality, not quantity, not time, I've prayed. I've done my job, and I'm ready to face the day. You know, see, prayer protects your mind. Did you know that? Yes, Philippians 4:6-7 said, be anxious for nothing. Don't be torn apart about anything in this life. Is that your attitude? You see what I mean? Is that really our attitude? That's the word of God. That's the word from heaven. Don't be torn apart. Don't let your worry, which divides your mind, strain you. Don't be anxious. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer with supplication and with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And he says, and the peace of God, his very own peace, the peace of God himself will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Guard means, again, a military arsenal set up by God, the two areas under attack. So prayer, it protects us, but prayer does something else. Prayer builds you up. It builds you up. In Jude, it says, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. You want to get built up? Then pray in the Spirit. And not only does that, prayer, let me tell you, is there any greater help than the throne of grace, Hebrews 4:16? The place that God says, invite you, come boldly. Amen? The throne of grace. You have free access, access without condemnation. You can go there. But prayer also does something else. God's waiting on you to come. We just learned that, didn't we? Was it 1 Peter 3:12? That God's eyes are always on the righteous, or and his ears are always open to your prayers. It's always open. He wants you to pray. Oh, loved one, how wonderful is that? It says now in verse 8, Here's another thing we arm ourselves, this attitude. Above all things, have fervent love for one another. That's a command. And it says, for love will cover a multitude of sins. So it says above all things. That means it's top priority, this command. All of us are to arm ourselves with the attitude of the same love, which, of course, is agape. And look at the intensity of that love. It says fervent. Did anybody watch the Olympics? Because the word fervent there means this. It means to stretch and strain and sweat with everything to reach a goal, okay? That's what that word fervent means. Listen, loving one another, I'm going to tell you something. Loving one another is not effortless. Sometimes you really got to strain and sweat and work at it. With others, you really take some, no, I'm not wrong. But you understand. No, and so anyway, isn't it horrible to talk about these Christians that are suffering, but then to turn it around and then suffer from the hands of other Christians? Isn't that horrible? It hurts me when I suffer from the hands of believers. It hurts me. It should hurt you too. We should never do that to one another. Amen? No. Now look at the quality of this love. It says it's agape. That's God's kind of love. And the object of love, it says, is one another. Now, why do we do that? It says because love covers a multitude of sins. That doesn't mean that we, okay, it's okay to sin and we sweep sin under the carpet. That's not what it's talking about here at all. It's talking about in times of suffering, in times of suffering and persecution. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are baby Christians going through persecution. Did you know that? Some of them are mature Christians. So what is that teaching us right here? It's saying allow for the weakness of others. One of the signs of the end times of this world is Matthew 24:12. Lawlessness, sin will abound, but the love of many will wax cold. And talking about Christians. Wow. You know, there's something to be said about baby Christians. They have fear, where an older Christian may not have fear in some things. Let me give you a good example. You probably don't remember this because we weren't born in 1555. But, well, I'm sorry, Mario. Forgive me. You know, his name was Thomas Hawkes. You may have remembered the story about him, this true story, and you can look it up in history. And in 1555, there in London, they went back to Catholicism, you know, in England. And so he was a devout Christian. He says, no, I'm not doing that. And you had to baptize your children then in the Catholic Church, okay? And so they locked him up in prison with all the other Christians, and they burned them at the stake, okay? That's what they did then. And so the younger Christians that were around Thomas, they looked at him and they said, and they'd been watching out their cell door, all the Christians, they would put him on a cross, and then there would be a fire, the wood all around. They tie a big, heavy chain around them, tie them to that cross, and they would set the wood on fire and burn them alive, unless they recounted and left the Protestant religion. So the young believers were watching that, and they started kind of weeping and saying, oh, Thomas, we're so afraid to go out there. Do you think that God in any way, I mean, how are we going to endure that? And Thomas looked at them and said, you will endure. And they looked at him and says, okay, here's what we want you to do. When they put you out there and they start that fire, is there any way you can give us some kind of signal that God is with you? You feel absolutely nothing and remove our fear because we're afraid. And he said, I will. He went out there. True story. They tied him there. All the bundles of wood was all around him. They tied him to the cross, chained him there, and they set him on fire. Time went by. All those in the prison cell were staring out the window, and he didn't move. He was just burnt to a crisp. And then all of a sudden, his hands went up in the flames, and he clapped three times. He's called the clapping martyr. You see, love covers a multitude of sin. Amen. Oh, God is so good. Now look at verse 9 quickly. We're right on time. It says, be hospitable to one another and do so how? Without grumbling. Now, that's an easy one. We're family. Do you have that attitude? We're family. We need one another. If we were going through times of persecution, don't you think we really need each other? Yes, the Bible is very clear how we're to receive one another. Romans 15:7 says we are to receive one another as Christ also forgave us. Amen? The word receive means to welcome one another just as we welcome Christ into our heart. Now listen, during Nero, these Christians were suffering. And you can read about it in history, but the thing is, their basic necessities of life, just food and shelter and clothing, they didn't have that. And so hospitality was very important. You would help people and so help one another, meaning the Christian. Now, and so somebody said, well, Bill, this is peaceful times. Are we hospitable in peaceful times too? Of course we are, but I follow Ben Franklin's advice. He said this. He says, fish and visitors smell in 3 days. So I don't know. Verse 10, as each one, everyone say those two words, each one. One more time, each one. As each one has received a what? A spiritual gift. Now, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, this is your attitude right now. Arm yourselves with this attitude. It says each one, every believer has at least one spiritual, supernatural gift from God, whether you believe it or not, loved one. Now, listen, I get upset sometimes. That's a poor choice of words. I get concerned. When a believer comes up to me and says, I don't have any gifts. And I always say, well, if you don't have any gift, then you are not a believer. Yeah, that's a rebuke right here. You're not a believer because the Bible says each one, every believer at their new birth has been given some kind of spiritual gift. Amen? Okay, that's what the Word of God says. But look how you got it. It says each one has received. You've received it. You didn't earn it. You didn't learn it. You weren't good enough. You didn't work it up. You didn't go to seminary. It was given by the Holy Spirit and can only be given by the Holy Spirit. It can only be received. Ephesians 4:7. Here comes these two words again. But to each one of us, every believer, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So that's a measured gift and measured grace, okay? He says, when he ascended on high, Jesus led captivity captive. We talked about that last Sunday. And gave gifts to men. You could read it this way. Gave gifts to each one in his body, okay? Now, the gifts to his church, 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit, meaning your gift, is given to each one, every believer, for the profit of all, not for the loss of all, for the profit of everyone in the body of Christ. If you don't exercise your gift, if you don't discover your gift, and you'll never discover your gift unless you step out and water the seed that's already planted, the gift seed that's already planted in your heart. Now, the gift you don't exercise is not going to help anyone. And no one can replace your gift. You have it, the gift, right now for the generation you live in. Verse 10 again, each one is commanded now to do something. The word minister means to use your gift. It means use it. So you arm yourselves with that attitude. Are you a full-time Christian? Okay. You're not a part-time Christian. Amen? You're not a part-time Christian in the workplace, are you? No. You're not a part-time Christian in college. No. You are a full-time minister of Jesus Christ, and your gift operates full-time as he wants. Amen? So you need to be expectant. Oh, listen. Use your gift. That's the attitude you have. And then it says something. Look at it. He says, as good stewards. Are you a good steward? Or a bad steward? The word steward means to possess what does not belong to them. You're not the owner of it. You are only the manager of it, okay? You're going to give an account of what God has given to you, your gifting and everything else in your life when we stand before him at the Bema Seat of Christ, a place of rewards, not judged for our sins. So we're to arm ourselves with that attitude that being a good steward, the Lord's property is in your heart, in your hands, you're responsible. And then it says, the manifold grace of God. The only limit on God's grace is the limit you put on it, Christian. Did you know that? Listen, remember Israel of old. We don't want to be like them. It tells us in Psalm 78, I can't remember where it is, verse 41, but it's in it, Psalm 78. God says to them, again and again, you tempted me in the wilderness, again and again and again. And you limited God, the Holy One of Israel. There it is. You limited God, the Holy One of Israel. Loved one, listen to me. Can you imagine us, and we do it, we're guilty and it's wrong and it's sin. How can we limit the limitless Almighty God? He said, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that's working in us. Amen. Ephesians 3:20. Come on. Well, we don't want to limit God. That's a sin. And if you read the whole psalm, they limited his power. Oh, God, you can't do this. And there's the problem. Listen to me now. Mario and I had breakfast this week. And remember what we were talking about just the same subject, weren't we? You know, here's what happens in the church, and we're all guilty of this. I know I have one gift from God, and that's all I have, and you lock yourself in, and you can't get out of that theological box that you've created. Listen, question, does the Holy Spirit of God live in you? Is the Holy Spirit of God the giver of the gifts? Yes. Does the Holy Spirit of God, does he give them as he wills and when he wills? Yes. Now, is the Holy Spirit, does he have all the gifts? And they're not your gifts. You're a steward. That means no matter where you are in this life, what you're doing, why not start expecting any gift that God has to work in your life? I don't have the gift of healing. Yes, you do. He lives in you. I don't have the gift of discernment. Yes, you do. He lives in you. I don't have the gift of miracles. No, you don't, but the one who lives in you does. Why not say, yes, he's right now, he's operating me in this gift. This is what I'm doing. But maybe tonight, if I go over here and visit, this person is going to need a touch from God, a healing, or whatever, a word of knowledge. Do you understand me? You need to be open because God has everything you need for all the people that are out there when he desires to use you. So don't just say, I have one gift. You have the giver of all the gifts living in your heart. Arm yourself with that, loved one. Amen? Now, let me prove these scriptures quickly. 1 Corinthians 12:11. Each one, same spirit. He works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills, of course, when he wills. Romans 12:6. Having gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, the grace that is giving unto us, let us use them. Your gift has no value unless you use it. Amen? Romans 12:3, Paul says, I say for the grace that is given to me, every one of you among you, not to think of himself more highly. Now, that's an attitude. Don't think of yourself more highly, or I should say, or less highly, but think soberly. Now, that's an attitude for the Christian. Think soberly as God, not you, as God has dealt or distributed to each one a measure of faith. You know what that scripture just said? You right now, Christian, you're born again. God has given you all the grace you need and all the faith you need. It's living in you right now to operate the gift that he has given you. But your gift will never operate unless you believe, number one, it's there, and number two, you can walk in the Spirit. You can do what God says to do. It means that you have to be alert. You have to be listening to the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You have to be aware. And it's not like all of a sudden you see stars from heaven and this and some kind of sign. It might be a simple, just you feel the person sitting at the lunch table across from you that you've been working with for 10 years that you don't even really know. You just sense in your heart, you go, there's something, I feel like I need to go over there and say, how are you doing? You know, and you think that's you. No, it's the Spirit of God. And you get up and you walk over and sit down and you go, hey, I'm James. I've been here for 5 years. I know we never have met. I just felt like I needed to come over and I don't know. How you doing? And he bows his head and he starts telling you what's wrong. And then you know that God sent you there. And then you say, may I pray for you? And he looks at you and he says, please, would you pray for me? That's how you learn to walk in the supernatural. Don't make it some type of Christian TV thing. You know what I mean? You know, don't, you're not throwing your coat out and all. You know what I'm trying to say? It's normal. It's natural, but it's supernatural. I have to hurry. What did Paul tell Timothy? First Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, the spiritual gift. Loved one, listen, again, the spiritual gift that you don't exercise is not going to help anybody. Look at verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Now, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm not giving you my opinions or my prejudices. I'm giving you God's word. And God's word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? It changes people's lives. That's how we're born again. The word of the living God. We believe it in our hearts. So if anyone speaks, you don't need to share your opinions and share groups. I mean, it's okay, do it. I mean, I'm being critical about that. I'm not saying you do that. But you know what? If I'm going to talk about a scripture, I don't want my opinion. I want to know what it means. Amen? You don't want my opinion. Pastors study. They want, when they stand before you, they want to give you the true living word of God. They're not trying to lift them up. They're lifting Jesus up. So here, it says, if anyone speaks, if you have a speaking gift, okay, no matter what it is, Sunday school, whatever we do, let him speak as the oracles of God. Declare the word of God, okay? Now, if anyone ministers, now from a speaking gift to a serving gift, the word minister, diakonos, means to serve. We get our word deacon, okay? If anyone ministers the serving gift, look what he does to do. Let him do it. Now, how is he to do it? Watch this. As with the ability which seminary supplies. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NIV version. No, as with the ability which what? God supplies. We could really read it like this. The ability that God lavishly and continuously supplies, not your strength. Acts 1:8. Remember what Jesus told us? You know, but you'll be endued with power from upon high. You know, you're going to be, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to be my witnesses, you know, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the world. He's going to give you all the power you need. That's the power of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You have all the power you need, and I do too. Amen? It says that God supplies, and look at the purpose now, that in all things the pastor should be glorified, preacher should be glorified. No, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men that they may glorify your Father in heaven. Amen? That's what it's all about. And look at this part. To whom, meaning God, to whom belong the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. So listen, whether it's all the things that we've just learned, the attitude that we're to have, loved one, arm ourselves with this attitude every day. It says whether they're speaking gifts or serving gifts, all do everything that you do for the glory of God. Not to be seen by men, not to be lifted up by men. We want to lift up the one who saved us and died for us and took our sin and made us new creations in Christ, made us citizens of heaven. Amen? We want to do those things. It says, to whom belong glory. I love that. Because here, listen, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if you catch the end of that or not. You know what Peter just did? See, it's kind of like a doxology, if you will. He's just kind of like Paul right there. I think he was penning all this, and he was seeing all these different attitudes. And he kind of went off in the Spirit himself. And man, he started praising the Lord. And here they are, these Christians. They are under now the persecution of Nero. And he was telling them, this is what I have in my heart. I believe I'm right with all my heart. I believe he was telling those Jewish believers then, and every believer that's going through any kind of persecution or suffering, he said, listen, I want you to know to whom this glory belongs. It doesn't belong to Nero. He thinks it does. You know, he went out and killed himself, remember? Yeah. No. After Paul was dead and after Peter was dead, he was next. No, to whom belong glory, he's gone. Rome? Well, Rome, is Rome still there? Rome's gone, man. It fell. Come on. You know, how about, let's bring it up to last century. How about Stalin, Lenin? Are they gone? Well, they wanted the glory. Did it work? How about Adolf Hitler? Did it work? He wanted to rule the world. He wanted all the glory. Did it work? No, it did not work. Here we are today. It says, to whom belong glory? Doesn't belong to Putin. Doesn't belong to Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran. No, it doesn't belong there at all. North Korea. No. It doesn't belong to any of those, not even China, not even America. It says here, but to God belongs the glory, the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. Is that your attitude? That's the only one to have. There is no other.
Well, Pastor will be back tomorrow with another message from God's Word, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the broadcast today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.